Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We'll set this passage up this morning. Christ has come. He has gone to the cross. He has risen from the tomb. He spent 40 days appearing to over 500 people. I was thinking about that yesterday. I was thinking, we go to a funeral and we see that the person has gone on, and that's, it just boggles our mind when you really capture this. The disciples and many other witnesses, the Romans and the Jewish leaders, they saw Jesus dead. They saw him dead. And the Romans were good at what they did. They didn't take people down from the cross unless they were finished. And so they saw this lifeless body, and then 3 days later, they saw him walking around having breakfast with the disciples. I mean, that boggles my mind when I really let my mind go there. Am I the only one? I guess I'm the only one. Christ has risen from the grave. He has spent time with the disciples, and he has ascended to the Father, and he has sent what he promised, the promised Holy Spirit, and that comes in the first part of Acts chapter 2, known as Pentecost. The disciples began to speak in the native language of the people who had come there to the city, and they began to share the gospel in these native languages of all these different people, and then Peter preaches the first sermon. And we pick it up shortly after he had preached this sermon, and he convicts the people from this sermon, and they say, well, what should we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so we pick it up in verse 41, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who accepted his message, speaking of Peter, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number that day. I'm waiting for a Sunday like that. It could happen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. Let me say that again. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. If this is your heart this morning, that the Holy Spirit come, say that with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Say it. Come, Holy Spirit. Say it again. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and to speak to us in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Sermon today is, we last week wrapped up the Go series. Wrapped it up. Did I put anybody in the mood to hang mistletoe last week for anybody? If you were here last week, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, man. That's the first mistake I've ever made. But anyway, if you were here last week, you know what I'm talking about. This week, my sermon title is Covenant Keepers. Covenant keepers. Did you know that God is the God of covenant? And I think about a year ago, I preached a series on covenant and how God is the God of covenant, and how he made covenant with Abraham, and he said that I will be your God and you will be my people, and I will magnify your name, and I will bless your people, and your descendants will be like the grains of sand and the stars in the sky. And we know that we can't even count the number of stars in the sky. And so God is the God of covenant, and He renewed that covenant, and He stayed steadfast to that covenant through Moses and David and on, and finally fulfilled the covenant through the person of Jesus Christ. And He is calling us, church, because God is a God of covenant with us. He's calling us to make covenant back with Him, to keep His covenant. And He is also calling us to be a people of covenant with one another. So today I'm kind of loosely calling this also Covenant Sunday. We're going to be talking about that word covenant a little bit more. But I want to talk about did you know that if you're on my email, the church's email, you should have gotten my email this weekend where I talked about that Wiley Methodist this month is 109 years old. And no, there's no one here in the room that was one of the charter members. I'm pretty sure. I've checked. But 109 years old. But we do have our own Jesse Edmondson, which Jesse's been kind of sick and hasn't been able to be. His mom was one of those 29 charter members, and it's awesome. There's still that connection all the way back through Jesse, and it's really awesome. On November the 27th, 1904, Little Country Church, actually the first church building was, the land was donated by Mrs. Wiley, that's why the name Wiley, not only for us, but for the school district here. This family named Wiley donated the original land, and so they kept that name. And the first church building was also doubled as the schoolhouse. It was a little one-room church building right down the street here. And served for many years, and then some of y'all that know the history better than I, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe after a few years of that, they tore that one down and built a bigger one, right? No, that's not right? Well, I know one of them burned by a fire, right? Okay, I've already got in trouble with a mistletoe last week. I'm not going to try. Anyway, it went through a series of buildings. There were some torn down for bigger ones. There was one destroyed by fire and rebuilt and so on and so forth. So it went through a series of buildings. But did you know that the building is not the church? You and I are the church. You and I are the church. And so we celebrate that today, that God has been blessing this city and this community through a place called Wiley Methodist Church for 109 years. And that's awesome. Next year we'll have a bigger celebration on our 110th year. I remember when we did it on our 100th year, and it was pretty cool. So I want us to think, in fact, we had the farmers join last week and went through this. The first thing is we come into fellowship with this believer or with this group of believers or any group of believers, the first thing is you can't be a part of a particular body of Christ, a church, unless you're already a member of the greater body of Christ. In other words, if Christ is not your Lord and your Savior, then you can't come into a fellowship of fellow believers if you're not a believer. So the first thing that has to happen is we have to call on our Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior and be baptized in that faith. But once that has happened, we receive people into membership of this church with this question: Will you be loyal to Christ? I went back and looked at our discipline to get more precise in this. But will you be loyal to Christ in this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, and service? And in 2004, I need to add this because it's an important piece. In 2004, our discipline added the word witness. Will you be loyal to this church? And you're already saying, you've already pledged allegiance to Christ by being a follower of Jesus Christ. But as you come into membership of this church, will you be loyal with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Five things. And I found it so, as I'm thinking through these words that we pledge as we come into membership in with this fellowship of believers, I looked at this story in Acts chapter 2, which was the founding of the church. It was when the church launched. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, And suddenly, after the Holy Spirit came, and that's an important piece, is they were empowered by the Spirit, suddenly the church exploded. And we see this story in Acts chapter 2. We see, what did the church look like originally? Sometimes you have to, I see it sometimes, I'm sorry, ladies, I'm going to use a football analogy, but sometimes, you know, these pro football players, they get up into the pros and they forget how to tackle. They forget the very basics, the very essence of how they got to where they are. And they forget the very essence of tackling and blocking and things like that. And so us as a church, if we want to understand who Christ is calling us to be as His church, let's go back to the beginning. What did the church look like on that Pentecost morning in Acts chapter 2? And it's amazing how it lines up with this question that I ask when you come into fellowship with this church. So first thing, covenant keepers, because that's what we are, church. Covenant keepers pray. Covenant keepers pray. If you want to follow along, and the insert is in the bulletin, if you can find your way there, it's the white one. Covenant keepers pray. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to prayer. That first church, that original church, when the Holy Spirit came and they began to share the gospel, they committed themselves, devoted themselves to prayer. They were a praying church. How are we doing, church? How are we doing with that whole prayer thing? That's a rhetorical question. That's for you and the Lord to work that out. I know that we have many, are we a praying church or are we a church of prayer? I mean, that's two different things. Are we a praying church when crisis arrives, we pray for it? Or are we a church that's interceding all the time, even when things are going well? Are we a church that prayer permeates who we are? Are we that kind of church? I believe that was this first church in Acts chapter 2. I believe that's the kind of church they were. Second thing, covenant keepers grow. And if you've heard me say it before, profession of faith and baptism is not the finish line, it's the starting gate. You don't get your ticket that says heaven on it and stop the journey. Wesley talked about that all the time, this sanctifying grace, how God is continuing to mold us and to make us into His likeness. The Christian journey does not end at baptism. It does not end at baptism, it begins at baptism. Covenant keepers grow. Listen to these passages out of Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were and they couldn't do that unless they came to hear the apostles teach. So they gathered. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. All the believers were together and had everything in common every day. It wasn't this once a week stuff. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Do you think that there was this urgency in them to become like Christ? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to this fellowship, to this gathering together. And so when people tell me, yeah, I can be a Christian and not go to church, I'm just honest. I say, yeah, but not a very good one. You can't be about growing in your faith. God created us for community. And so that's the importance of coming together for teaching and worship and prayer. Covenant keepers grow. And it seems to kind of tie with this word presence. With our prayers, will you be loyal to this church with your prayers and your presence? Will you come? I'm going to get real with you. Everybody ready for me to get real? I hope you didn't put apples and tomatoes in your purse this morning. But I'll tell you what, as a pastor, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I see people stop coming to church. And so many times, it's happened in my time here. I'll see a family or a person engaged, And everything is, I mean, it's not, life isn't perfect. God, Jesus said there'll be trouble, and so life isn't perfect. But I see people, man, they're growing, and they're on fire for the Lord, and good things are happening. God's blessing them, and all of a sudden, it's like, hadn't seen them in a while. And people, I know people reach out, and maybe sometimes we don't reach out. And it's our fault. But when a period of time goes by, those folks that used to be engaged, and they say, did you hear so-and-so's getting a divorce? Oh, I mean, it's like driving a stake through my heart. Did you hear so-and-so's getting divorced? Did you hear so-and-so is, you know, struggling with this, struggling with that? Now, God has created us for covenant. He's created us for community. Have we pledged? If you've stood up here, even if it was 40 years ago, if you've stood up here and you've said, I want to join your church, I just tell you, I don't think God, I'm certainly not looking just for numbers. And I don't believe God is too. He wants committed disciple makers. He wants committed men and women of God that are eager to plug into community and be about His business. That's what we're seeking in the church. So will we promise to be loyal with our prayers and our presence? Are we going to be engaged and involved? Third thing, covenant keepers give. I get in trouble here every time. That's why I don't talk about giving that much, because quite honestly, I just can't take it. And that's not good. But it's there. We got to face it. Covenant keepers give. Verse 45. Selling their possessions. This is the first church. This is those 3,000 that professed faith in Christ that first Pentecost morning. They sold their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone as he had need. They were a giving church, a giving people, a sacrificial church. And they realized, it ain't my stuff. This is God's stuff. I promise to be loyal with my prayers, my presence, my gifts. What we might ought to do is start saying, my prayers, my presence, because we don't like that one, do we? We don't like that one. And it's not just speaking of money, but we all have gifts. I don't care. You may be thinking, I don't have any gifts. You have gifts. Maybe your gift is listening. Man, that's a gift, to be someone that has a compassionate heart that will listen to people and not grow weary of listening to people that are struggling, that pour out their heart. That's a gift. We all have gifts, financially as well as with our service. Fourth thing, and that moves us into four, covenant keepers serve. Covenant keepers serve. Prayers, presence, gifts, and service. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. It almost sounds like they were serving the people. And do you think that once those people were blessed, do you think, I mean, if it had stopped with the 12, if this call to serve was only for those 12, you and I would not be here. You and I would not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it's like throwing a rock in a pond and the ripple effects just go out like this. And we are a ripple. Prayers, presence, gifts, and service. Many miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And it would go, if they, as you read on through Acts, not just with the 12, but it went on and on from there. Those that they had shared Christ with and those they had led to Christ. Fifth thing, covenant keepers tell. Covenant keepers tell. And this goes kind of goes back to my last sermon series, Go, is that we are, you know, I can't even imagine how selfish we have to be for Christ to have changed our lives and for us to not tell anybody that. How selfish do we have to be? I mean, and we use all sorts of mistakes, all sorts of excuses that, oh, well, I'm shy, I'm embarrassed, I don't want people to, you know, think I'm weird or, well, you are weird. You are weird. If you're in Christ, God's, and everybody's kind of stunned. Well, you're calling me weird. But In Christ, we're a peculiar people, Scripture tells us. We're supposed to be weird. We're not supposed to conform. Do not conform anymore to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. We're to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be weird. Covenant keepers tell. Prayers, presents, gifts, service, and witness. Verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Why were 3,000 added? Because they were sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them. They happened to be doing it in their native tongues, but by enabling by the Spirit, but that was out of necessity because you got all these people speaking different languages, and if they had just spoken in their native language, they wouldn't have understood them. So God gave them, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to speak in all these native tongues and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Fortunately for us, English will do. In most cases, around here, English will do. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It wasn't he. Do you see that? That last little bit of that verse 47 added to their number daily, so that they could look good for the bishop. That's not what it said. So they could impress their friends. Look how big we're getting. No, they added to their number daily those who were being saved. They had the good news of Jesus Christ. It was the message that they had been given. Jesus, in fact, his great commission to us is go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Go and tell what I've done for you. Covenant keepers tell. We are witnesses to the goodness of Christ. And finally, covenant keepers are thankful. I mean, if anybody, we're coming up on Thanksgiving here a week from Thursday, I believe. If anybody has reason to be thankful, it's believers in Jesus Christ. I mean, because God, who is spinning the world on his finger and who has flung the stars in the sky and he separated the oceans from the land, that God has called you by name. He has called you by name. And he has sent his son to hang on a cross for you and for me. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were a thankful people, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Did you know that thankfulness is contagious? I was telling somebody the other day that they'd been kind of walking in this spirit of despair, and they'd been looking for a job, and there was just this spirit of despair on them, and it was just like, you know, can you imagine if I walk in for a job and I'm going, "Hello, I'm Jeff Hatcher, and I'm here to apply for the job." I mean, who's going to hire me? Who wants to be around that? But suddenly something came over this person, and there was the spirit of despair was lifted off of them, and there was a spirit of thanksgiving and blessing on them, and I saw it immediately. I saw it immediately. Their head was up, and they were carrying themselves different. They were thankful, and they were counting their blessings, and that... It entices people. People are drawn to that because it's easy to walk through this life, woe is me, isn't it? I mean, if there's anybody in here who doesn't have trials, raise your hand because I want to meet you. This world is tough. I mean, health stuff and financial stuff and relationship stuff, it's tough. But when we offer ourselves to a hurting world, we offer the good news of Jesus Christ, and we are a grateful and a thankful people with glad and sincere hearts, that's attractive. That's attractive. I want to invite you. Blue insert. Last insert, I promise. I want to invite you to I want to talk about this sheet a minute. I'm going to just get ready, and if you want me to advertise the Sunday it is so you can skip, I'll let you know next year. But we're going to do a Covenant Sunday every year. And I'm going to try to make it November. As long as I'm here, that's going to be my plan, is a November Covenant Sunday. And here's the deal. Many of you
Here's the way I divide up who we are this morning as we sit here and listen to me. Many of you are members of our church, official members, and you have some point in the past you've answered that question. First of all, you know, our two questions are: is Christ your Lord and Savior? And so that was answered. And then secondly, we be loyal to Christ in this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, and service. And again, we've added that witness in there as well. But you've at least answered that question once upon a time. I invite you this morning, if you're that person, I invite you to renew that. No, it's not an official thing. It's just in our hearts. Just that says, you know, I still do. It's saying to God, I still do. I still love this fellowship of believers, and I still believe that we're doing what God has called us to do. We're not perfect, but we're forgiven, and I want to participate in that in the future, and I still do, God. That's what I'm challenging that group to think about. And then there's people who call this their home and have been coming here maybe for some time and have not officially made that covenant with us. And I want to say a couple of things. So listen very carefully on this because I don't want anybody to be offended. First thing on that, you're welcome to come here just as long as you want to and never join. We love you and we're glad you're here. But I also want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to make covenant with us. We want to make covenant with you, and we want you to make covenant with us because God is a God of covenant. And there's no shame if you come here for 50 years and never join. There's no shame, and I love you, and I promise you I will serve you as your pastor just as faithfully as I can, whether you've signed a piece of paper or answered that question or not. But I want to invite you to consider that because that's who God is calling us to be. A people of covenant and community. And then there's some of us this morning that maybe it's your first Sunday to visit, and you're still trying to figure out if we're the place for you and your family or whatever. And I understand that, and I'm fine with that. I hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place because we got some good folks here, and we have Jesus. Jesus resides here, and He makes a difference. And so I think that's pretty much who would be here this morning, who would be represented. And so that's the challenge to us this morning. And I want to kind of, if you'll look down through here, you know, covenant of membership is not just about what you are promising to us, but what we are promising to you as the body of Christ. And so the left-hand column, if you were, and this ties right in with the prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And it's pray for my church and my fellow members regularly. Be present in worship and other events on a regular basis. Support my church with my spiritual and financial gifts. Find an area of ministry through which I can serve Christ and His people to go and to tell. Support and further the mission of every Christian to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that basically is a little longer way of saying I agree with my prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. That's really what that is. And then as your church family, here's what we would promise to you, and this should be happening, and if it's not, please come and visit with me, because we want to be this kind of a church family. Provide opportunities for you to grow and live out your faith in Christ. Provide opportunities for you to develop deep and lasting friendships and community with God's people. Even before I was a pastor, Cheryl and I basically, we didn't have friends outside the church. It wasn't we had friends. We had people we liked and knew and so forth. But I mean, our go-to friends has always been through church. I mean, just there's just something about the body of Christ that unites us. And that's always been the case with Cheryl and I, even long before I was a pastor. Provide opportunities for lifelong learning as you deepen your understanding of the Bible and Christian faith. And I'll say this again, I've said it before, if you ever hear anything coming out of this pulpit that is not in God's Word, not supported by God's Word, then I want you to call me out. Challenge me. Because I want to hear that, and we'll sit down and we'll explore God's Word together. Be good stewards of your financial contributions to this church. Us, as you give financial gifts to this church, is that there's account. I want you to know there's accountability. We have many levels of accountability in our church with the finances that God blesses us with, and we promise to be good stewards of your financial contributions. And we don't make any big decisions with one or two people. It runs through a whole bunch of people when there's big decisions, financial decisions especially, to be made. Finally, provide physical, emotional, and spiritual care with great love. That's our heart. That's what we want to be as your church family. So as I'm going to ask Clay, just you, Clay, for just a second. Would you come on up and just play through some music for us? I want to invite you, as Clay prays, to sign your name to that. I would say this: if you're not ready to do this, and I'd rather the sheet remain blank and go home with you than for a sheet to come up to the altar that's not genuine. I really would. And there's no shame in not filling out the sheet. But if that's you this morning, if you want to make that covenant, renew that covenant, or make a new covenant with us this morning, I invite you to put your name. And if you're wanting to actually become a member of the church, check that box and put your numbers down there and your email address where I can reach you and we can talk. So as Clay prays, prayer, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I prayerfully invite you to come. Father, we thank you that... Father, we thank you that you are the God of covenant, that long ago, many, many centuries ago, you called Abraham and you said, I'm to be your God and you're to be my people. And you have grafted us in through Christ into that promise. We call on you, Christ, as our Lord and our Savior. Father, I pray that you would bless Wiley United Methodist Church, not so that we might impress one another or impress anyone, but so that your kingdom would come right here in our church, right here in our city, right here in our community, that your kingdom would come. I pray, God, that you would convict hearts right now, how you would have us respond. We thank you that you are the covenant giver, and you established it in your blood. It's a costly covenant, Lord. And we thank you. We are a thankful people. We come to you with glad and sincere hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to come if you feel so led. What a great morning to say yes to him, because he's already said yes to you. I'll be up front. If you want to come and talk to me about a commitment to Jesus Christ, you're invited to come as we close.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and mine alone can change the leper's mind. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin and left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Go and be a covenant keeper and tell someone of the goodness of Jesus. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed